are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Houdat Nation, very excited to have a very special guest with us today. Former Scarlet Knight of Rutgers was awarded the Paul Robeson Award, as well as several academic all-team honors. Fifth-round pick for the Detroit Lions, now entering his sixth season in the NFL. Coming back home to the New Orleans Saints, Long Valley, New Jersey in the building. We've got fullback Michael Burton sharing the mic with us today. You can follow him over on Twitter at MikeBurtonFB. Honor and a pleasure, Mike. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Couldn't be more excited and really just ready to dive into some stuff. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. It's just, you know, the offseason always just feels like, you know, we get through free agency and then it feels like forever in between free agency and then everything wrapping up. But big moves so far for you, man, coming back to New Orleans. Super glad to have you on the show. Super glad to have you here. Want to give a big shout out to Pat as well for helping us get all this set up and together. I'm going to ask you, man, you're keeping healthy and washing those hands, right?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. I do that anyway, but definitely taking a little bit more precaution now, just kind of with everything going on, you know, just really trying to do my part, right?
Right.
Just not be part of the problem, you know, making sure cleanliness, washing my hands, you know, social distancing, all those things, just to kind of help get rid of this problem, you know, as quick as possible.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the point about washing your hands before all this happened, because I feel like some people got exposed in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. No doubt.
Absolutely. So Mike's joining us on the podcast today. You can also catch the written interview as well over at canalstreetchronicles.com. Today we're going to talk about Mike, the football player, but of course, just as important, Mike, the person. So let's start off with that a little bit, man. First, tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and then what brought you to Rutgers. Lay down the journey for us a little bit before getting back here to New Orleans.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said before, I'm from Long Valley, New Jersey, about 45 minutes outside New York City. You know, went to high school at Westmore Central, and then went on to play at Rutgers University. Football has always been a dream of mine. That's the sport that I was always most passionate about. I played a bunch of sports growing up, but football is what I wanted to play, and Rutgers is where I wanted to go. And I was actually a walk-on at Rutgers University. I was not offered a scholarship right at first. I eventually earned one after being there for 2.5 years, but that's where I wanted to play. I was from New Jersey, had a lot of pride, wanted to play for my state school, and chose to walk on there, and you know, ended up being named captain there, which was a great honor, just, you know, obviously from my peers, and then, like you said before, getting drafted by the Detroit Lions. So, like I said, man, just growing up, football is what I want to do, and Rutgers is where I want it to be. And thankfully, from the support from my friends and family, I was able to make that happen.
Hey, gotta love that, man. Gotta love that. And of course, there's that mentality, I imagine, that comes with being a walk-on and then earning your scholarship, earning that captain status and everything like that, man. Like, that's not easy to do, man. You came up from the mud that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's just, You understand, you learn very quickly that you need to bring your best every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, every second I walked, you know, every day I walked in that locker room, walked in that building, you have to be at your best, especially just being a non-scholarship athlete, you know. And with that too, you had to understand the importance of education and grades, right? You couldn't give them any reason to get you out of the program if your GPA was slipping or you know, goofed off in class, whatever the case may be. So you really had to be on all the time in order to make it work and to make it happen, just being that walk on. And I'm glad, you know, I think it helped me really learn a lot, because it just showed me how to be a pro, and I've carried that on into the NFL. And that's kind of how I live my life every day now too, which has been great. So
yeah, absolutely. And you've been rewarded for that too. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. But first I want to ask you real quick, this isn't your first time coming to New Orleans. You spent some time with them in the off season as well with the Saints. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience with your first stint here?
Absolutely. I mean, it was an awesome experience. Just having that opportunity to get down there, you know, eventually signed in May in free agency, and just hit the ground running right into OTAs. I mean, the locker room, the coaches, everybody was just so welcoming to me coming on, and it was just a really special place. I mean, I can't say enough of good things about them, just how they run their day to day, just the emphasis on detail. I mean, they're such a winning organization and a winning culture. And it's just like when you walk there and you get into facility, it just screams excellence. And where else would you rather want to be and be in that type of environment, because it makes you better, right? So it's an unbelievable experience. And just being there has just really been really transferable, even into my own life, of how to just get better by a little bit every single day from what the coaches preach. So really excited to be back, and I can't wait to get started.
Love that, man. So let's talk a little bit about that leadership that you mentioned, not only leadership on the field, but, you know, you're talking about at Rutgers academic leadership as well. You were rewarded for that with the Paul Robeson Award, which I think is really important because it's a leadership award about your impact on your club. We know that the Saints are all about culture. Is that part of what attracted you back to New Orleans?
Absolutely. I mean, just the culture they had set in place. I mean, just the excellence that they demand of you, the work ethic and everything that they are all about is just so special. And you want to be part of that culture. They're a winning culture. They do things the right way. I mean, you fall in line there, right? Like, they have a culture where you get in or you get out. That's the way it is. You know, just it's set at the top and it comes down, obviously, with Coach Payton and then down to Drew. You know, just the way they run that organization, you know, you fall in line and it's just a really special place. And just those two unbelievable leaders that you can learn so much from. So just very excited to get back there and just get working back with the team, you know. So
if you've been a listener of this podcast, and I'm sure that you've heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans, but you might not know that Locked On Saints is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Saints fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the ability to reach local podcast listeners, but not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. So if your company wants to connect with Saints fans and a predominantly male audience that's well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Do you have any memory that you're willing to share just in terms of your first stint with the Saints during that offseason? Anything funny, any stories like that you're willing to share?
I mean, overall, it really was a great experience.
Just all together, you know, right?
Just really all together. I mean, despite obviously the personal, just having gotten injured in training camp is such an inopportune time to get injured, for me personally. But that was more of a personal thing, right? Like, I was able to get through that because of the support from the coaches, the teammates, the training staff, the doctors all did an excellent job trying to get me back as quickly as possible and all those different types of things. So it was just overall a great experience, just very welcoming, you know, and I think it helped a little bit, right? So Coach Lombardi, the quarterback coach, he was my offensive coordinator in Detroit when I got drafted. So really, I'd been kind of looking at that playbook from an offensive standpoint since 2015 when I was a rookie, because it was the same offense we ran in Detroit. So, you know, that obviously helped too, going there, just having like a little bit of a leg up, like on the playbook, as opposed to just being brand new, you know, right to the offense. So that was kind of nice to have that, you know. Coach Rizzi, he's a Rutgers guy. He's coach at Rutgers. Yep. He wasn't there when I was there, but you know, he's a Rutgers guy. And then Coach Phil Galliano, he actually was on the staff at Rutgers when I was there too. So just being able to have some coaches in the building that, you know, on a more personal level, and, you know, it's nice to have, but the locker room was just so great, such great leaders in there, you know, guys who have played really long at a really high level, and it's just nice, you know, to be around them and just kind of have that support. So it was just a great opportunity for sure.
That's awesome. And I think that's a great segue too, because so I wrote this article about you coming back to New Orleans, talked a little bit about the fullback position as well. You're one of my favorites to do it in today's game. We're talking about how, you know, you spent your time with Detroit, you had that playbook, you spending time with the Saints, spending time with Chicago. Those are three teams that utilize that fullback position. Can we talk a little bit about your experience and sort of being a fullback? What are some of the responsibilities that come with that position?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, for the fullback, you know, I think it's dependability, right? Mm-hmm. It's a coachable guy who's going to do his job, who's going to be tough, he's going to play his absolute hardest every single play. It's just something that we kind of embody, you know, as fullbacks, right? We might not necessarily always be the fastest or the most athletic guy on the field, but we need to be smart, tough, and we need to be able to just kind of outwork our opponent. And that's kind of how I choose to live my life, is just by, you know, trying to be the hardest working person in the room.
Work.
So, you know, with that, you have to understand, you know, you got to be able to catch, right? Run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Run block, obviously, and pass block, and all those different certain things are kind of what make fullbacks great. You know, I think the fullbacks who can do the more is better, right? So mm-hmm. the more diverse they can be, it just opens up the playbook for the offensive coordinator, because it doesn't necessarily say, oh, you know, if this fullback's in the game, it's run. They can do all certain different types of things with this guy on the field,
right?
And that just creates problems for the defense, and it just helps the offense that much more. So I try to work on all those skills. Like you said, what's important for a fullback? I think it's just all those skills of being able to run the ball in a pinch if have to, be able to catch an outlet, be able to pass block on third down,
mm-hmm.
and be able to run block, obviously, too, you know, whenever you're called upon. And then there's this whole other side of special teams.
Right.
You know, understanding that it's so important to be a four-core guy, you know, to be a starter. And not only to be a four-core guy, but to be a productive four-core guy, to make mm-hmm. plays, to be around the ball. You know, block your guy to, you know, and make sure he doesn't tackle the returner. So it's just all those things that I think is just really important from a fullback position. And those are things that, you know, I think about and try to work on every single day in my workouts, my daily routine, and things like that. So
yeah, man, it's inherently an extremely versatile position to play, because as you mentioned, you right. have to be ready to do anything, and you have to have the skill that's necessary in order for a coach to trust calling upon you in any of those various situations.
Right.
It's not just about being a lead absolutely. Blocker.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And especially just the way the game has transformed. It's all speed now and movement.
Right.
I mean, guys are so fast and athletic, you know, and stuff like that. So you got to be able to kind of keep up with that. You know, you the guy you might be teaming up and going up against on special teams, he's probably the fourth, fifth linebacker, maybe mm-hmm. the sixth safety, and those guys can fly. So you got to be able to be as athletic, or, you know, at least with them, to be able to play with them, right, and succeed and be productive. So those are all things as a fullback you have to understand. You have to bring value to the roster, you know, and I think part of it, you know, obviously is doing it most importantly, but just understanding that too, of all those different things that you need to be able to provide, I think gives you a better, you know, chance to make the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have all of those different things, those different roles that you serve. Does there happen to be sort of a favorite element for you, the thing that you really look forward to going out every Sunday and doing?
I still think, you know, and I think maybe it's just the fullback in me, but it's mm-hmm. just being on a run block and just blowing somebody up and running back fly by and just go for a touchdown or even a long gain, you know,
right.
just, you know, a 10-yard run or, you know, an explosive, as we like to call it. I still think that is just the most exciting thing for me, because I think, you know, a few things, right? So just as a team, right, when you can run the ball, it just mm-hmm. puts so much on the defense. Like, you can just control the game. You can control the line of scrimmage. So I think when you have plays like that, explosive runs, it just wears down the defense, and it's just a spark for the offense. And then it just helps set up your pass game, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we already know, you know, the quarterback in the passing situation on the Saints right now. So
yeah, they're pretty okay there.
Yeah, exactly. They definitely don't need help, but it's just nice to have a nice, just strong run game that is dependable, that you can just get yards when you need be. So I think for me, it's just opening that hole, you know, for the running back. And to be honest, you know, with the running backs we have on the roster, they make my job a lot easier. You know, they're so good at everything that it's, you know, you could just have to get on your guy and they're going to make a guy miss or run through a guy. I mean, they have all the blend of speed and power, you know, patience, quickness, and eyes that they're both exceptional backs. You know, so that's another reason to be part of that room, is you have great running backs, definitely make your job easier, that's for sure.
Yeah, so,
and Latavius and AK.
Yeah, but I love it, man.
To. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, but I love it, man. I'm sure that there's nothing like just going out there and blowing somebody up when you get the chance to do it.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely. No doubt.
Now, you were a running back at one point, right? You were a running back in high school, and then you transitioned over to fullback before your first college season. Is that right?
Yeah, so Yeah, so I was a running back in high school, and then when I got to Rutgers, I switched over to fullback. Yeah,
nice, nice. What was it that brought about that move?
You know, I guess you'd have to ask my college coach.
Oh, I guess mean, that's no, a, yeah, were, that's fair.
They were up front with me about it. You know, I was a running back in high school, and they said, "Hey, if you want to come to Rutgers, we'll probably switch you over to fullback." And I said, "That's up. You know, that's fine." You know, was it as big as a transition as some people might think it is?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's more at that point. It was kind of more of a physical transition, meaning like I just gained some extra weight, put on some extra strength, and stuff like that. But I think the way the running back sees the holes is the same way the fullback needs to see the holes is the same way the running back needs to see the holes, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I think having played that position my whole life, I'm able to read the front and able to read, you know, the openings and when to make the cut and when not to make the cut.
Right, right.
I think that has helped me kind of, you know, have kind of the same set of eyes as the running back, because you never want your fullback going one way and, you know, you're running back going the other way unless it's designed or he's making an outrageous cut or something. But I just think having played the position, you have a feel of like, you know, maybe when the D line is stretching, right? And you mm-hmm. got to make that cut quick, you know, or where the linebacker is going to be and stuff like that. And just playing, having played offense, you can just read the coverages and the defenses and things like that. So, you know, more of a physical transition than anything else, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. So, nice. So let's see. Yeah. Last year, you had multiple special teams tackles on a game when you were playing with Washington. You caught a touchdown the year before with Chicago, and then you had those couple of years with Detroit playing at the position as well. Do you have a favorite NFL moment so far?
Favorite NFL moment? That's a good question. I think one of the moments that I really appreciated was the day I got drafted, I think, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Having my, you know, a lot of the hard work that my parents had sacrificed, you know, that had sacrificed to help me get there, all the work that my, you know, representation, my agent had put in, I think was great. And just to see how excited and happy they were, obviously for myself too, you know, in that moment, you know, I think that was something special.
Love that.
But, you know, I guess more so for a football standpoint, probably the first touchdown in Detroit, mm-hmm. unfortunately. I don't know if you know who it was against. But
oh, yeah, but, you know, that's all right. You know, we look past night. Some things, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No. I'm hoping to have another one just in the Saints uniform.
Right,
that's
right.
All. But, no, so Monday night, it was against the Saints, and it was just my first one. And, you know, just excited, obviously, to get in the end zone, but it was just help my team win or help my team score, you know, mm-hmm. and just however – it goes back to that, you know, conversation before, right? How do you be diverse and – you know, just really thankful the coaches trusted me, right? They put me in a great yeah. position to succeed. It was a great play call, and they trusted me to make the catch. And, you know, I was able to do that. And, you know, overall just kind of helped my team. And that's what's important to me. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, I would say between probably draft day and the catch, or that first touchdown catch was probably two of my more exciting times since I've been in the NFL for sure.
Love that, man. Love that. So let's get to just some questions about what you're doing right now, because we're in a weird time right now. We're all, you know, staying at home and everything, right. You know, helping, like you said, being a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. So what are some of the things that you're watching Absolutely. Right now on Netflix to like during lockdown or not even Netflix, even if it's not Netflix, but is there anything that you're really like tuning into during your lockdown?
So I'm actually on Netflix. I started watching All American.
Okay. Yes. Good choice.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of it or seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's based off a true story, and it's just about football and high school football and stuff like that. And it looked good. Listen, the previews look good, so I threw it on. A little more drama than I thought it was going to
uh-huh,
be.
Uh-huh.
Football, more reality TV kind of than football, but it's been good. I've kind of been watching those every now and then, you know, kind of with my wife. So she's a teacher, she's mm-hmm. home, so we actually get to spend quite a bit of quality time together, which has been nice. But we don't watch too much you know, TV. She's got to do some virtual learning and stuff on the
yep.
on the computer with her kids, and I just try to read or you know, work out and stuff like that. I try not to watch too much stuff, but if we were going to put something on, we tried that Netflix.
Yeah.
And then I guess she wants to start Ozarks too. or Ozark.
Yeah, Ozark's really, really good. Yeah, really, really good show.
Is it? Is it good?
Yeah, okay. I like it. Let me say it that way.
I'll check it out. Okay, cool. Awesome. Now, I think I saw this on your Twitter the other day. Did you have your top three non-lyric, I guess, their opening songs for TV shows?
I did.
Did you have The Office as number one, right?
I did have The Office up there. I had...
So I'm assuming you like that show, right?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, so that's my favorite show. I just had to bring that up because I had seen it on your Twitter page, and I just wanted to bring that up. That's by far my favorite show. I've already watched it so many times through. I suppose I could start it back over, but yeah, that's my favorite show.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. Like, I love me some Office. My fiance and I last night, we like got to the point where we were watching, you know, John Krasinski started doing this Some Good News Network thing that he's doing, to where he's just doing an internet show that's just about good news right now. And it's really cool. And he had super dope. He and Steve Carell talk to each other on it, like via FaceTime and whatever, and just watching them kind of crack up over moments during the show. And then we last night were like, well, what they were really talking about was a blooper. So why don't we watch? And then we just sat down and watched the bloopers for every single season last night.
I've caught up in that world. Trust me.
Oh, dude, you can't get out.
That's phenomenal. So good.
Another one that I'll recommend to you if you haven't watched it yet is this documentary series, The Tiger King. Because
The Tiger King,
dude, it is
now. See, I've heard
wild.
Of that, obviously. So I've heard it's all over social media.
Yes,
I've seen some people say you gotta watch it. Some people say you don't have to. I don't know. What do you think?
You gotta watch it, because it's one of those things where, like, as you're watching it, you just can't believe that this type of stuff is actually happening in people's lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, the stuff is wild. Okay. And that's not like a judgmental thing. It's just that, like, this is just an introduction to things that I have never considered before in my lifetime.
It is so
wild.
All right, you told me. Because I was going back and forth, but if you say so, I'll start it up for
sure. Definitely check it out. And please, if you can, hit me up and let me know what you think when you're done with it, because it's wild,
I will.
Dude. It is wild.
Okay.
So awesome. So you mentioned, you know, you mentioned working out and everything, and, you know, trying to stay sort of on top of your training and everything. What are some of the things that you're doing right now to keep on top of all that? Because we're, like we mentioned, we're in an unprecedented landscape at this moment.
No, absolutely. I mean, obviously, the off season is an extremely important time for guys like us that are trying to, you know, get a job and keep a job and play at a high level. But, you know, there's a very serious thing going on right now, right? This social distancing, and you got to play your role, and you want to be part of the solution, right? So you just got to find ways to be creative, right? So when I moved down here, I had a few dumbbells, I had a kettlebell, I have a jump rope, I have some other stuff that I just kind of get creative with. I'm able to still run outside and do all that kind of stuff and, you know, stay on top of it from there. And I think a really important part of it, too, is just your diet, especially at this time. Right. So if you're not burning as many calories, then you kind of got to be a lot more careful about what you're eating. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think I've always had an emphasis on that, but I think it's even more so of an emphasis now, just because I'm maybe not able to do those grueling, you know, 2-3 hour workouts in the weight room, just because I don't have access to that right now.
Right.
You kind of just got to counter that with, okay, watching a little bit more what you eat and doing, you know, being super creative to the house with the equipment that you're given. You know, so, but no, listen, it's been great, you know, just staying in shape and getting ready to go, just hoping that this clears, you know, very quickly, you know. I think hopefully we're on our way, and we got to just keep listening to professionals and do, you know, kind of what they say. So
that's exactly it, man. We'll see the other side of all this. It's just wild because, like, particularly over the last couple of days, I've fallen victim to boredom calories. And so, you know, when you mentioned like trying to watch it, like, that's the hard part right now.
Yeah, I know. It is. Even just if you find yourself getting bored, like if it's a nice day, I'll just go out, you know, take a walk or something like that, just to kind of get your mind off things and just try to get outside and things like that, you know. And I think another important thing, too, is just checking in with your loved ones every day.
Absolutely.
You know, just seeing how they're doing. My parents, because they're in Jersey right now, which I think may be the second most cases to New York, mm-hmm. just because the vicinity is so close.
Yep.
So just checking in on them. I got some family down in Florida and stuff like that, so, and some family in Maryland as well that just give a call on. So I think it's important for guys to, or just people in general, to see how their loved ones and family are doing, and friends and stuff like that during these tough times.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So, you know, we've sat here, we talked about New Orleans, we talked a little bit about food, so I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. You spent that little bit of time in New Orleans. Did you enjoy any of the cuisine out there?
Yes, I did. So I can't remember the name of the place, but mm-hmm. One of my first few nights, so we stayed at a hotel that was right by the airport, and I went down and I asked the front desk, recommended some food. No, I wasn't all the way downtown, but I would say it was about maybe 10, 15 minutes from the hotel, and it was seafood, got crawfish. I think I got like a seafood jambalaya.
Nice.
I wanted to try it all, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I had some crawfish, and I just had like this big bowl of all different types of seafood, some rice, but the spices and the sauce was just unbelievable. So that was great. And then I went downtown a few times during, like when we had the weekends off, mm-hmm. With a few buddies, and we grabbed some food down there, and it was just, we tried to go to, you know, less commercialized places and more just like kind of homegrown, and
of course,
they were just, mm-hmm. the food is just phenomenal, you know? So
yeah, yeah.
That is another thing. Definitely excited to get back there and eat for sure.
So, absolutely, man. I love hearing that you know, go to the places off the beaten path, like supporting the local businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And right now that's so important too.
Doubt.
So that's so dope to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
That's so dope to hear.
Yeah,
all right. So
sure.
going back to workouts real quick, do you have a favorite album right now? Like what is it that you're listening to during workouts?
Oh man. So I can listen to pretty much all different types of music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a country guy,
mm-hmm.
usually all year round. And even when it gets nicer out too, I'm a country guy. I could be rap too.
Uh-huh.
But right now I'm kind of in, I think I'm more in the country range right now.
Uh-huh.
So, Dustin Lynch came out with an album, so I'm listening to him.
Dope.
I still listen to the old school stuff like Jason Aldean, Thomas
right.
Rhett, Sam Hunt. You know, Luke Holmes, those guys. I think I've been more of a country right now, but like I said, I can throw in anything, you know.
Yeah, man.
But you know, so yeah.
Yeah, when you love music, you love music. It's just that simple.
Yeah. What about you? What are you listening to right now?
My big thing right now is probably, I'm a classic hip hop guy, so I live with my Tupac albums and everything like that. But what I've really been into of late is actually some soul and R&B. So I've been listening to a ton of John Legend recently because I got a record player in the crib.
Cool.
So I'll throw on some vinyl and everything and just like kick back and listen to some John Legend.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what I've been all over recently.
Absolutely. That's awesome. That's great, man. That's cool.
Yeah, man. All right. So before we wrap up, dude, would you mind telling us a little bit about Mike's Nights?
So Mike's Nights, foundation, I partnered with Embrace Kids, and they work with children's hospitals in New Jersey. So that's where I went to school. That's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to Rutgers, I started doing hospital visits, children's hospital visits, specifically kids with pediatric cancer. And for doing that for 5 years in a row, you know, 5 years at Rutgers, it just really hit home to me. It really put things in perspective. You know, we talk about trying times and difficulties and stuff like that. And when you step foot in a children's hospital and you see family and a child going through, you know, cancer and whatever the case may be, it's very tough, right? It's very hard to see. And all you want to do is help out the best way you can, right? So when I got to the NFL, I partnered with Embrace Kids and my camp. I do a voluntary camp, and it's called Mike Nights. And all the proceeds go to Embrace Kids, and it all goes to families and children dealing with pediatric cancer for whatever's needed, whether it be the research, whether it be for kids who are in the hospitals all year round in school, and they need to pay for, and the families need to pay for tutors, they need to pay for school books, they need to pay for material, whatever the case may be. Everything that we receive from that camp all goes to them. And specifically, there's one hospital in New Brunswick that I spend a lot of time at. And, you know, it's just something I try to do to help give back. And if we can't have the camp this year, that we're still going to do something, you know, try to make that happen and just donate and be part of the solution, you know, to helping these families and kids. And it's something I'm really passionate about. And hopefully, you know, all things clear and we'll be able to get, you know, get all the kids and families together for the camp. But if not, you know, we'll make it work for sure.
Yeah, so. Man. Yeah, man. Well, awesome, dude. We'll be rooting for you and everything with that, too. And of course, like anything we can do to, you know, throw out some retweets and show some support either here with Locked On Saints or Canal Street Chronicles, man, we got you in terms of making sure to continue to expand that. Thanks so much for all the work that you do, man, everything that you do on the field, off the field. And thanks so much for joining us today, dude. It's an absolute pleasure talking to you.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it and really appreciate the great conversation back and forth. Thanks again.
All right, y'all. That does it for today's episode of Locked On Saints. Make sure you take a moment to tell your smart speaker to play podcast Draft Dude so that you can check out what Kyle and Joe over at the Draft Network have to say about the NFL draft upcoming. And of course, keep on coming back all throughout the week, and we'll continue to keep you up to date with everything going on with the draft here at Locked On Saints as well from the Saints perspective and what Coach Peyton had to say about Drew Brees coming back for his final season in the NFL. Don't forget to throw Mike a follow to say thank you for him coming up on the show at Mike Burton FB on Twitter. Fantastic to have him. Look forward to having him back again real soon. Thank you very much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Houdat Nation. I'll holla at you.